Welcome to the fourth episode of The Real You Show. Our next guest is one that I have been personally extremely excited about, a personality of two extremes. One who is a corporate, hardworking Emirati female leader at heart, and one who is a spiritual mind therapist. In her day-to-day job, she truly runs a workforce like no other, because she just doesn't know how to slow down. While in her private life, she co-owns the Illuminations Wellbeing Center in Abu Dhabi, offering a wide variety of therapy services. In our previous episodes, we constantly touched upon therapy being life-changing. We touched upon therapy being okay. We talked about corporate burnout and hard work. We combined all of these elements in the real-life stories we heard from our previous guests. But today, I finally get to introduce someone who truly is the definition of both worlds. I am super excited to have her here with us to tell us who she really is. And I am personally interested to know, which world does she really live in? Is it the spiritual, free, rebellious world? Or is it the corporate life? Please allow me to welcome Leila Saif. Hi, Leila.
Hi, Layal. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for accepting our invite and welcome to the fourth episode of The Real You Show.
Thank you. I really think it's a very cool show and I actually personally watched every single episode.
That's amazing.
So thank you for having such a platform.
And thank you so much for accepting our invite. I have been so excited to have you on board because I truly think in the introduction, like I mentioned, that you resemble two worlds, which is very hard to find. In today's world, not just here in the region, but I think globally as well. The corporate world is a very difficult world, while the spiritual world is something that is life-changing, right? And in all previous episodes, we talked about therapy ongoingly. And before we go right into it, I would like to start by asking you a question, which is the following. Which movie do you think resembles Leila's life today?
One movie that touches my heart or touches me at my core is Eat, Pray, Love.
Wow, what a beautiful movie.
Yes, and I resonate in two aspects with that movie. So there's a part of me that is always wanting to experience new things, what else is out there. And another part of me that is always a seeker. Mm-hmm. A seeker of growth, someone who always reads, a seeker of self-development, spirituality. So it sort of combines these two inner desires that I always have.
Right.
And it reflects on my behaviors, on my life story and my journey as well.
So when we talk about Leila's life story, and obviously this is what the show is about real life stories, right? If we were to go back, let's say a few years or even all the way back to your childhood, walk me through Leila growing up.
My first years of childhood were amazing, actually. I was in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Wow.
We were a small family. We had the forest right back door. I used to look for these little ladybirds and carry them as I walked to school. So it was very nice and peaceful and part of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the story got a little bit harder mm-hmm. once I reached the age of 8 and had to come back to the UAE with all that cultural shift that came with it. So I think that's where the difficulties actually started.
Mm-hmm.
But generally in life, you know how we go on autopilot, right?
You come
into your family, you get all the culture, you grow up, you go to school, university, take a job. And suddenly I just open my eyes and I'm 30. I'm at my early 30s. And then you see yourself living a life that sometimes you might not necessarily like.
Nice. That's interesting. All right.
And for me, that's when my eyes opened, and I would say that was the start of my spiritual journey.
So that is so interesting. You touched upon the exact same feedback or comment that my last two guests touched upon. Saleh said at the age of 30, he went through a life-changing decision-making process. Maria, my guest before that, talked about at the age of 30, she decided that she didn't like the way that she looked. She didn't like her job. She didn't like the way that she was living. And now you're also touching upon that. And I think you are someone who can really confirm, because of probably the clients that have come your way, of 30 being a life-changing element. What was it for Leila?
For me, it was a sudden awakening of observing my life from the outside and then looking at it and saying, is that it? Is this mm-hmm. my life? I really don't like it. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to be honest with yourself at that moment in time,
right?
Because I did everything that society wanted me to do. You know, like I was the good girl who got the good grades, who did all the right things, but I wasn't really happy. And I think that realization was a big moment for me. And I had to ask myself, what is your dream life? Just beautiful. What is your dream life? And I had a very clear vision. And wow. Then the next question is, how far am I from that? And it was too far away from my reality.
Beautiful.
I know a lot of people at this stage might feel overwhelmed or give up or say, oh, well, maybe it's not in my books. Let me just keep going. But for me, that wasn't an option. I had to ask myself, okay, what is one thing that I can do today that will take me one step closer, just one step closer?
Right.
And at that time, I realized I had to leave the corporate world because I had a lot of inner work to do.
Wow.
I had a lot of beliefs that were not impacting my life in a positive way. I had a lot to understand about myself.
Right.
And at that time, I couldn't balance between the responsibilities of corporate wow. and doing all of that work. So at that time, the right decision was for me to leave.
Was it that you were impacted? So at the age of 30, you realized you weren't happy, in a sense that you didn't kind of want to resort to what the system tells you or what culture tells you or what family tells you. And that's something I can totally relate to. There is always a notion of, yeah, but everyone is doing it. You need to do it too, right? And that's why from the few times, and I'd want to clarify that to our viewers, is that from the few times that I've met you, probably 2 times or 3 times in the last couple of years, you drew my attention to the fact that you are rebellious in the sense that you think differently. The path you have taken, which was, for instance, leaving corporate world, which is a huge risk factor as well.
Yes.
These were all risks you've taken. How did you navigate those?
Now, you get to a dilemma or to a place in life where your heart is telling you something and your mind is obviously totally scared and freaked out, right?
Beautiful.
So my mind is telling me all these things that this is everything you've worked for. Mm-hmm. Are you going to throw that away? Are you going to start from scratch?
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a lot of time to handle these fears mm-hmm. and realize, you know what? These are fears and it's okay. Let me listen to my heart and take that leap of faith. And the funny part is once I made peace with my decision and you start to voice it out,
right?
Then all the people around you start projecting their fears on it. Are you sure? Do you have a plan? So you
wow.
even after you pass your own fears, you need to pass
right.
all of these other conversations. And to this day, it was the most important decision that I've made in my life.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that helped me train myself how to take that step in spite of the fear is skydiving.
Wow.
So I took the license to be a skydiver. And the only reason I did it is to train myself standing on the plane with the doors open. You're feeling fear in every cell of your body. How can you feel that and still take your step?
Right.
And I feel that was such a rewarding experience because it opened up a lot of opportunities.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is beautiful because when it comes to fear and overcoming fear in such a life-changing decision, which in your case was leaving the corporate world and starting something from scratch or just taking a different path, you said to overcome that fear, I had to do something, which was in your case, skydiving. That is so beautiful. You just answered a question which I've had for so long with so many of my guests, which was, how did you overcome that fear?
And you don't overcome it. The fear is there, right. You know, like, how do we acknowledge it and move in spite of the fear?
Right.
And it was a huge fear. I'm not saying like I'm fearless. Mm-hmm. No, it was very scary. It's not about just leaving corporate. It was leaving everything I knew. Wow. My social circles. Who am I without the label? Who am I without that title? You know,
right.
It's really like you're starting from a completely blank sheet of paper.
Right.
And what I realized, though, after I left corporate, so obviously I've done a lot of healing, a lot of cries, a lot of sessions.
Yeah.
I became a certified clinical hypnotherapist.
Wow.
Got married, mm-hmm. Started my business, because I feel every human being deserves to know that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. There's
beautiful.
A way out, you know? And after all of this, I felt, okay, now my life's in balance. Now I feel great. And now I'm ready to contribute more.
Right.
So if you ask me back to your first question, which world do I relate to now?
Right.
I feel I'm a spiritual being, and that will never change wherever I go.
Right.
And it actually made me a better leader.
Right.
So today I would say both.
That is beautiful. For everybody watching you, and I can guarantee that there are a lot of our viewers who usually watch the episode, and every time we talk about life struggles and corporate burnout, everybody resembles with that. So many individuals who have privately messaged me, thanked me for openly bringing this up, because corporate burnout is real, right? And it drives a lot of people to therapy, and it drives a lot of people to say, okay, I'm not sure if I can do that. I'm just a human being at the end of the day, but I'm being looked at this, you know, as this title. Everybody expects so much from that person. And that was you. I remember when I first met you, there was a big title behind Layla, right? That represented her. We talked so much about the responsibilities that you were carrying. For everybody watching you today, that life step to leave the corporate world, leave the title behind, all these responsibilities that you worked so hard for probably 10, 12, 15 years towards. What is the one thing after you left corporate world that you said literally as you walked out on your last day of work that you said, I'm going to do next?
You might find my answer a little bit surprising. At that time when I left, I was planning to do nothing.
Wow, beautiful.
I needed to do nothing because all of my life I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I was not being. I didn't know who I am, what I liked, what I loved, you know. So I just needed that space. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did that, because if I would have planned what I wanted to do, in my corporate mindset, I probably wouldn't have planned it as brilliantly as it panned out.
Right, right.
So I actually just created space, spent more time in nature. I kept on studying about the mind. I kept on knowing more about me. And what I realized, since a lot of the viewers here are interested in burnout, at least for me, that my burnout was because I wasn't working from the right space. I was trying to prove that I'm good enough. There's a fear element to it. I wasn't able to say no comfortably. So all of that was me working from a place of fear.
Right.
That resulted in me maybe taking more than I can actually deliver, or not being able to say no. And that led me to burnout.
Right, right. So going a step back,
yeah.
And before going back into obviously corporate burnout and in the corporate world and in all the life-changing decisions that you did, I want to talk a little bit about culture and society. You said something that I can so relate to, and I think I found I found it beautiful, and I think a lot of our viewers will find this very beautiful and truthful as well, which is the fact that everybody expects you to do 1, 2, 3, 4. You grow up and you're being told how you should look like, what you have to do, probably what you should study, what you can say, what you cannot say. What do you think is the biggest problem with the system worldwide today?
Everyone is so concerned about what the other person is doing. Mm-hmm. If we're each concerned about bettering ourselves and trying to reach to the most authentic part of ourselves, mm-hmm. that's the best gift you can give the world. And what I found very interesting when I started working as a therapist, mm-hmm. right? So I got to see the core of society rather than the masks, right?
Beautiful.
And what I found interesting is almost everyone who is in such maybe a conservative sort of like society is coming to heal from the pressure of society.
100%.
Then who is society? It's us. Right. You know?
Right.
And everyone is going through that same amount of pressure, and everyone is trying to be that image, that ideal image that doesn't actually exist.
Right.
And everyone is just worried what the other person would feel.
Spot on.
And if we each realize that, and this is why I love your show, because your show says the real you.
Right.
And if each one of us finds it within ourselves to go and dig a little bit deeper and bring a little bit of that authentic self out, the world will be a better place.
Right. I couldn't agree more. And I think what you're saying is so spot on. Because everyone is so concerned today with, if I do this, what are my parents going to say? What are my friends going to say? What is that person going to say? Even when I came up with the idea of the show, I came up with it because I thought today, and that's the biggest problem with our society and our backgrounds today, which is we're looked at as a title and as a name, right? And if you don't have a title, you're not interesting. You don't have a position, or you don't have an opinion. But if you have a title, everybody wants to hear your opinion. Everybody wants to ask you probably for a favor. Everybody wants to hear from you. So I thought, if we were to put all of this aside and we bring individuals, human beings, to the show to talk about who they really are, maybe that will start taking away a little bit, even if it's in baby steps, of the expectation.
You see, if you ask me, I've got family members who are completely against eliminations.
Right.
Now, if I cared of what people think of it or to please everyone, then I wouldn't have made it.
Beautiful.
So as long as our intentions are in the right space and we're doing it for the right reasons,
right,
the right people will benefit from it.
That is so interesting. I want to go back to how a lot of your family members or your surrounding were against eliminations. I want to take a step back. Walk me through how the idea of eliminations came up. I know you are a co-owner today, but going from corporate to this is a huge decision. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you took that path and what are all the things that you faced throughout?
Now, first of all, I started with healing myself, mm-hmm. and it was very surprising how my life actually transformed. I, as a person, have changed. If you have met me 10, 15 years ago, you would not recognize me. I was the geek who's shy to talk to everyone, who will get nervous. I was a completely different human being.
Right.
And it really gave me peace and enriched my life and my relationships in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And when I reflect, I'm like, I lived 10 years emotionally in pain. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know there was a way out. Mm-hmm. And I used to drive all the way from Abu Dhabi. I finish work, I drive to Dubai, do my sessions, go to class. And I thought, I'm from Abu Dhabi, you know, like right. I wanted to have that platform for the residents of Abu Dhabi, that whatever it is you're going through, you've got a platform that can help you go through it.
Right. So when you took that step towards building, growing, adding, co-founding Illuminations, what were the few things that came to your mind, and was self-doubt one of those, given the fact that you said you had a lot of relatives slash probably acquaintances who said they're against it?
I had a period of, I would say, isolation. So I didn't allow the distraction to get to me. I was really focused on bettering myself. And I obviously had those doubts, like, I don't know the wellness industry.
Right.
I was studying to learn more about myself.
Right.
I didn't know or decide to be a therapist. Suddenly I see myself working as a therapist and I see that I'm good at it.
Right.
And it was so inspiring working with people. It's amazing how resilient and strong and how similar we people are, but we don't recognize that.
So true.
So obviously these doubts, I don't know the industry, I don't know business. What about all the skills that I've learned in corporate?
Right.
How would they benefit me? I thought, with my limited mind at the time, I thought it's just a world that ended and this is a new chapter.
Right.
But that's not the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any experience you go through gives you certain skills, and no one can take that away from you.
Beautiful.
And you can always take that into your next step.
Right.
And you never know how that will merge and blend into something that maybe at the time you would not envision.
Right.
And I still don't see Illuminations as the end of my visions.
Mm-hmm.
I still have future visions, but for now I'll keep them.
Right.
Maybe if we do sit together 5 years from now, we can talk about it.
Absolutely. So when we talk about Illuminations today,
yes.
I think Illuminations is known obviously for the one of, you know, the core centers in the UAE offering the best therapy, different kind of therapy services, right? Layla is one of the therapists at Illuminations. You must have met so many different individuals, as you just mentioned. And you said we all have so much in common, more than we know. What is that one thing that you think, after meeting so many different cases, so many different individuals, that you really think we all have in common?
We all want to feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
Accepted for who we are, and a sense of clarity or a purpose to our lives.
Spot on.
And that is common regardless of nationality,
right,
religion, age, gender. It's all the same.
Right.
And we have all gone through different degrees of trauma.
Absolutely.
Some are more severe than others, but the impact it has on the individual is the same.
Right.
So in that sense, we're all exactly the same. Maybe the details of the stories are a little bit different.
Beautiful.
But at the core of it, we're all exactly the same.
That is beautiful.
And that blew me away as a therapist.
Right.
A lot of people ask me, okay, what's the difference between UAE nationals or men when they come to you than women? And I had people from different walks of lives. And you just see the soul. And if you see the soul, we're all exactly from the same source.
That is beautiful. So to Layla and the real Layla, what was Layla's only trauma probably she has faced in her life?
I've had several traumas, actually.
Right. Feel comfortable to talk about the one that you actually are okay to talk about.
See, you're usually okay to talk about whatever is healed.
Right.
So that I'm okay. I'll go and be very
That's
vulnerable.
Beautifully said, right.
So one that sort of like meshed across all of my life is A, being in Edinburgh, being the only brown kid.
Oh.
While everyone's blonde and blue-eyed. So I used to feel like a little bit odd, a little bit different.
Right.
And then suddenly coming to a completely different culture and bless my parents, they took the approach of sink or swim. So I was put in government school.
Wow.
And it was all in Arabic.
That's two
and
extremes.
Again, I didn't understand what people were saying. So also I was like the odd one out. And I went to school pretty early. So I was always 2 years younger than my generation.
Right.
So obviously that has impacted how I view myself and my position around colleagues.
Sorry, Leila. So as an Emirati who moved back to the UAE, would you say you had a culture shock?
Huge culture shock. Culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
But then I didn't fit anywhere.
Interesting.
You know, because originally my grandparents are from Yemen. I don't know Yemen very much.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually born here.
Mm-hmm.
But then my first 8 years, I thought I was Scottish, which I'm not. So like if you talk about identity crisis or culture crisis, that can sum up my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually taught me to appreciate the uniqueness of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I always love to see the diversity. It really taught me to be resilient.
Right.
So yeah, I've had my share of traumas.
So that was your first trauma?
That was my first. Not my hardest.
Not your hardest.
Yeah.
Is there any trauma which was your hardest that you would be okay?
I would say sexual abuse.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people shy away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important sometimes to address it.
Right.
Especially in families and in homes where you've got people of different ages living.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen, right?
Right.
It's no one's fault, but things happen.
Right.
And I do see it as a very common thing that happens a lot. But
right.
unless it's acknowledged, mm-hmm. then how can we overcome it?
Very right. True.
So that was my hardest, obviously.
Right.
But again, I'm not alone. A lot of people have gone through similar things. And it's so empowering as an adult to heal yourself from something like that and to understand that it's not your fault and you had no guilt in it.
Right.
It happened for a reason, but it shouldn't define who you are and
right.
it shouldn't impact you negatively going forward.
Right. Leila, you are, and I always say that, such an interesting personality. I think you radiate a lot of positivity, let alone the fact your wisdom and the few conversations we've had when I first met you. And when I look at you now and I see all of these things that you've been through, and probably we only discussed 15% of those, if not 10% of those, so two questions at this point. One, at what age did you slowly start to heal from culture shock, the abuse, all of these life-changing moments you had to go through? Was it at the age of 30? And if it was, what was the first type of therapy that you did to actually address everything you felt over the years?
Pre-30... I was completely, I wouldn't say in denial, but unaware that I had issues.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking day by day, maybe it's stored somewhere in your mind, but I completely blocked it from my memory and was feeling life is great. I'm successful. Everything is good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I would, when I told you at 30s, when I opened my eyes and I said, do I like my life? And that's the moment I realized how many issues I had. Because I was the HR person fixing everyone else's issues.
Right.
I was thinking that I'm okay.
Right.
And that moment of realization that actually I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a lot of things that I need to work through. For me personally, hypnotherapy was the modality I think that suited me.
Right.
I'm very mental. I like to sort of like heal myself rather than have someone heal me.
Right.
And I felt that empowerment with hypnotherapy because you will have a therapist with you. They will only guide you through your own mind.
Right.
But actually the person who's in the session is the one that brings the solution out to light.
Right.
So that's the modality that I started with.
So for anyone who's watching us today, can really, really feel inspired by you and by the journey you've been through and the traumas. I think trauma is a very important word here.
I want to, sorry to interrupt you. I think this is important. Now, it is very scary to face such a trauma because it happened in the past.
Thank you.
You blocked it. It's horrible. No one wants to face it, right?
Right.
You don't want to even bring out these emotions again. So right. I understand how difficult it is to make the decision to face it. But once you do, because you don't realize how that's impacting your today, even if you think it doesn't, but it does.
Spot on.
And the freedom and the liberation that you get out of it, it is so worth it. The only thing you'll say, like, why I didn't deal with it sooner.
Right.
It was truly transformational.
Right. That's exactly what I was referring to, or I wanted to head towards, which was, for people who are watching you today, you bring in so many different worlds, which is very unique in the sense that from a working perspective, the corporate world you were in, then the spiritual, therapy world you were in, the traumas you've been through in your life, which I think alone can take a huge toll on your life. And exactly as you just said, a lot of people don't want to face it or think that it's okay what they've been through, and they keep it somewhere hidden and they don't bring it up until probably they're faced with a situation or they go through therapy. There are a lot of individuals I personally know that have been through trauma, not very different from yours. Each one deals with their trauma at their pace, right? And each one goes through an experience that, is already tough for how you define it, but they refuse therapy. What is the advice you would give them?
Such events take away your self-confidence.
Right.
Takes away your self-respect. Makes you scared of the world, untrusting, always at edge. It's always the source of anxieties.
Right.
Like some people say, no, it didn't affect me. Well, you've got anxiety. No one was born with anxiety. Anxiety
right.
is a natural response to a very unsafe, toxic atmosphere that you probably found yourself in as a child.
Right.
We were all born calm.
Right.
So I understand how, and I would link it also to skydiving, the idea of skydiving is so scary, mm-hmm. but the experience itself mm-hmm. is so liberating.
Right.
So if you do it once, if you go to that session with that intention that today I'll take my power from that individual, I'll take my confidence back.
Right.
You will probably have to do it once in your life.
Interesting.
And it's over.
Right.
I would have never been able to come on a podcast and talk this openly about it.
Exactly.
And it's so liberating. It just stops it. I mean, that person probably have taken something away from you.
Right.
Why would you allow that to continue taunting your life and who you are?
Right.
It shouldn't define us.
Right.
So in therapy, it allowed me, at least personally, to take my power back, my confidence back, and know that actually people are awesome. Maybe right. that individual was in that particular circumstance, whatever.
Right.
But that's not what clouds how I see the world today. I see the world full of amazing people, and I feel I took my power back.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
So what is the one most important lesson, could be a harsh one as well, that life has taught Layla?
I'm the master of my life.
Nice.
My life is mine.
Wow.
And if I find myself in a reality or in a situation that I don't like, well, it's my life. I can change it.
Right.
Yes. Fear might come in the way, but so what?
Right.
Feel the fear, get the message from the fear. But we are here on earth for a very finite amount of time.
Right.
We might as well maximize our experience while we're here.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. For Leila, who faced her fears, and they probably weren't two or three. I think there were a lot of fears, yes. I can imagine, with everything that you've been through in your life journey. Mm. If we were to look at this holistically, and for people watching you today who may need to hear this, I am a person, not just talking about our viewers, but I think it's important for me to talk about myself as well, to say I'm a person who suffers from a lot of anxiety and fears myself. I worked very hard with illuminations on those fears. And we keep going back to those. That, it happens. We face those fears, right? But as Leila, the therapist, but also Leila, the person who's had a lot of fears herself, how do you advise people like me and also a lot of our viewers to face their fears, not necessarily through skydiving, but really on a day-to-day basis? On a day-to-day basis, fear kicks in. It could be from the smallest decision to the biggest life-changing decision. How did Leila face her day-to-day fears? I really want to make this about you, because that will be very inspirational for others to say, you know what? It's not that bad.
So first of all, we have to acknowledge that fear is a natural emotion. It's not our enemy.
Right.
It's just an emotion.
Right.
And every emotion we have is there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Usually fear wants to protect us from something that happened or has a message for us. Mm-hmm. And let me give you an example as of today, right?
Right.
So before I come to the podcast, I was feeling a little bit anxious. And I sat with myself and I said, okay, I'm feeling this fear. So I want to connect with this part of me that is scared. Can you please come? Mm-hmm. And I see a little girl. She's like a 6-year-old. And I said, why are you scared? And a story came about. And I worked on that story and I realized that it relates to a time and space that happened in the past. And because I'm learned how to do therapy, so I can also be my own therapist.
You know, exactly.
And when I dealt with those part of me and spoke to those part of me that were scared, it just completely dissolved.
Beautiful.
So we don't have to face it or go against it. It's our friend. We need to understand what part of us is feeling that and why.
Right.
And once you connect with it, you will know exactly how to reach a resolution.
That is so spot on. I always refer to it as self-digging, right?
Yes.
A lot of self-digging. As someone who suffers from anxiety herself, and I think it's okay to talk about this openly, I learned that you need to do a lot of self-digging, sometimes on a daily basis, to face that fear. And it's so beautiful how you described it. It was that 6-year-old little girl you talked to, right? And she walked you through what was the actual reason as to why that fear kicked in. And I think that's such an important advice that you are giving today a lot of our viewers, which is how to face your fear sometimes on a daily basis. And that takes me to the next question. A lot of people I know, without generalizing this, but I can talk about people I know, refuse to talk about their fears because they're ashamed, because they're worried about society. They're worried about what family and friends would think. They're worried about what colleagues at work would think. You name it. So many different circumstances of why people don't want to talk about their fears. In Leila's eyes and in Leila's own real experience, what is wrong with our surrounding and society today?
I feel we have unrealistic expectations of what a human or what a successful person is.
Wow.
I think we all, regardless of our position in society, whether it's a mother who's staying at home, a housewife, a father, a student, every single one of us has felt in their lives shame.
Right.
Guilt.
Right.
Fear.
Yes.
Sadness, happiness, dreams. There's nothing to be ashamed. We've all felt it.
Right.
And we all go through it. Yes, I understand some people might be a little bit more secretive about it, but that's okay.
Right.
You can always find your own way to find a therapist online, to do it in your own way where you want to feel that you're, that people might not judge you or people might not intrude or have an opinion about what you're doing. You can always find your own autonomous way
right.
to heal yourself. You don't have to do it in group. But again, I feel, at least personally for me, if I cared about what people think about me,
oh, yeah,
I wouldn't have been able to do what I wanted to do.
Right.
So.
Right. I love that. That is, I can totally resonate with that because, you know, people just love to give their 1 cent or 2 cents about what they think you should be doing or shouldn't be doing. And that's okay, right? I mean, you go to friends for advice. You go to your family members for advice. Sometimes it's not the kind of advice that you want to hear. In Layla's world, did you take advice in and absorb it and probably follow it as you were navigating through that journey of leaving corporate life and going into the healing space?
No, I did the opposite of what every single person told me to do.
Right. I love that.
And I'm glad I did.
Right.
I'm glad I did because even with their questions, I didn't have a logical explanation. I just felt a strong feeling in my heart that this is what I need to do. It right. didn't make sense. I didn't have the logic for it. Probably from anyone logical would be like, what is she doing? She's doing the biggest mistake in her career.
Wow.
But that's okay. That's my life. Mm-hmm. And I knew how liberating I would feel. And it was the best decision I've ever made.
Right.
So only you know what is the right thing for you.
Right.
And people will try from their perspective, but even what is right for me might be wrong for you.
Right. Absolutely. So,
and that's the message. Like, I wouldn't want, for example, even for our viewers to see, oh, this is what she did and everyone goes and leaves their job.
Right.
That was, you know, like yeah. that was the right thing for me.
Right.
And every person knows exactly what is the right thing for them.
Right.
My advice there, do it. Mm-hmm. You'll not regret it. You will have people, you will have loved ones who will tell you no.
Mm-hmm.
Trust yourself.
Right.
Your heart will never lead you astray.
Right.
For me, at least, that's proven. Time and time again, that was proven.
In that period, when you trusted yourself and you took the leap of faith, did you face failure?
I wouldn't call it failure. Maybe things don't pan out the way you've imagined for it to pan out.
Right.
And I feel you need to, it was very confusing for me. So mm-hmm. let's say, okay, I left corporate, got certified, worked as a therapist, opened the business, got married. It was very confusing for me
mm-hmm.
when I wanted to go back to corporate.
I was going to head to that. Right. Yes. Yeah. Walk me through it.
It was something in me felt that everything, the business is set up. I worked as a therapist. There's still more, by the way, education and study that I want to do in Europe in terms of being a therapist. So that's for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like my life was completely balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a much better space and I just wanted to contribute wider to the community. I just felt ready.
Right.
And instead of sticking to the opinion or to the label like, oh, no, corporate is bad. No, we have to be. Oh, I had to be in touch with what I'm feeling. And when it felt right, I stepped into it. And right. it's amazing. I'm enjoying it. I feel from an impact perspective, now we have we're hosting COP28.
Right.
And I'm a big fan of the environment. And I hope now that we're hosting it, more people will join the journey.
Right.
So things like gender diversity, leadership, going green. I want to contribute to that. And if I have the ability to have an impact, then I want to be part of it.
That is beautiful. And I love how you're referring to impact because obviously that's what the show was created for, which is people and individuals like yourselves to really talk about what made them change their life, the pieces of advice that they can give. I always say each to their journey, but I think your journey is one that all of us can relate to pretty much. And when you look at your surrounding today, in all honesty and in all truth, were you able to prove them wrong that were against Layla's decisions?
Honestly, I'm so in peace with who I am that I don't care to prove anything to anyone.
Right.
I just wanted to feel this peace in my heart and to feel I'm living the authentic me. And that's all that matters.
That is beautiful. When you say the authentic you, what does that mean?
That I will only engage in things that align with my values, things that empower me, read the books that really nourish me, have conversations like this,
right,
that really just focuses on how can we create positive influences around us and how can we support all of us, each other, to continue growing in our own ways.
Right. Layla, I mean, the session felt like a minute because of how interesting your path has been and because of the life advice that you've given us on air and off air from the first time that I've met you. You are someone that is very content. And I think that's really important. And I wanted to end the episode with that. You are someone that is very content, or that gives the vibe of being someone who's very content and comfortable with where they are today. Obviously, you have a lot of ambitions and dreams, and hopefully in 5 years, maybe 3 years from now, we get to sit again and discuss that. If you were to tell our viewers, how can they feel content and comfortable today without having to go through huge life changes? There's a lot of individuals that are watching this episode and watching this show and following the show, and they really want to feel at peace with the simplest things or with big life-changing decisions. What is the one word of advice you would give them to say, how can they feel content the way Layla today feels content?
One, be honest with yourself. The worst person we could ever lie to is ourselves.
Wow.
So one, be honest with yourself. And once you do become honest with yourself, mm-hmm, and you realize, oh, I'm stuck in a toxic relationship, leave it.
Right.
Oh, I'm in a job that drains me, get out. Find a job that you love.
Wow.
So be honest. And once you hear the answer, in spite of the fear, take that one little step that you know very well you need to take. Just take it, and right, the rest will unfold.
That is beautiful. Being honest with yourself. That is so important. And I think I'd love to end the show with that, which is when you are honest with yourself, you also see a side of yourself you probably don't want to see.
It's
right?
Not easy. It's easier said than done, right? Be honest to yourself, because we're good liars.
Yeah.
We lie to ourselves and believe the lie.
Right, right.
So yeah, be honest with yourself.
I love that, because in the last couple of episodes, we had a lot of individuals and our guests who talked about be honest with yourself, love yourself,
yes,
have a purpose, right? And be self-aware. All of these life lessons are so important, because that's what everybody really wants to resonate with. So today, I would like to thank you, Layla, for attending this show, for accepting our invitation. This probably won't be the last time, because we have a lot to learn from you. We have a lot to talk about when it comes to therapy. And I think that's a topic that not everybody likes to address, but we have to address. It's everything that our society and our environment should be okay with, not just regionally, but I think worldwide. And I couldn't be more grateful for having your presence here. It's something that I have waited for such a long time. I appreciate, honestly, your presence and your honesty. And I think that's very important. It's important that our viewers are okay with being honest. It's okay for them to really address who they really are at core. You did this so beautifully. And I hope a lot of people watching this today will be able to take a lot of these life lessons with them to become truly honest with themselves and take life-changing decisions to change who they want to be. So thank you.
Amin. Thank you so much for having me here. And thank you for providing such a beautiful platform.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm honored to be here. And it's been such a pleasure, Layal. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Layla.